Hello there, I'm Chuck Todd, and I just got off the set from Meet the Press from this Sunday. We just wrapped up interviews with Terry McAuliffe, Jennifer Granholm, the Energy Secretary, and Brad Raffensperger, the Republican Secretary of State of Georgia, who's got a new book out about his back and forth with President Trump. I'm sitting here now with Kristen Welker. She's, of course, the Chief White House Correspondent and my co-anchor for Election Night in America on Tuesday, which I'm very excited about.
I'm very excited as well.
My quick takes from the show were Jennifer Granholm was trying to sell the positives. There's no doubt. I thought the biggest admission she made was pointing to a poll that said Americans don't know what's in the bill. And I'm like, well, yeah. And whose fault is that? Terry McAuliffe spent a lot of more time answering the education questions than I expected. I had other questions. He spent a lot more time on it. I was ready to do some other things. That's of interest to me. And Brad Raffensperger definitely doesn't want to talk about the January 6th commission.
That's right.
Really stood out to me. So those were my three highlights.
And he's running for re-election.
So
can I add to that,
please,
Chuck?
Please.
So what did going you hear? To Jennifer Granholm, I absolutely agree with you. I thought your comeback was great. Whose fault is it that people don't know what's in this bill? The reality is this president's been very focused on COVID, but at the same time, trying to get this sweeping social safety net bill passed, and people don't know what's in it. They know what's not in it right now, but he hasn't been out, I think, as much as his supporters would have liked to have seen, explaining what's in the bill. And someone said to me, he runs the risk of making the same mistake that former President Obama made on healthcare, having a big bill.
I think it's already happened.
Right.
I mean,
right, that's not explained.
I think it's too late. I think there's no political upside that's coming from this bill. You now just stop worse political outcomes by passing the bill. Like, yeah, they have to stop the bleeding. There's no doubt.
That's right.
I don't
know. They have to get it done.
Like healthcare, in 10, I don't know if they get new benefit. They just stop bleeding.
That's right. And I do think, and I've been speaking to people at the White House who've said, look, he is going to go out on the campaign trail. He's going to explain what these new investments in childcare mean. He's going to explain what these new investments in climate mean, $500 billion, why they think that's significant. But what's one of the biggest headlines that's come out of it? The fact that paid family leave right now is not included. We know that there are still people fighting for that. Senators Gillibrand and Murray.
I did not want to get into a philosophical debate with Jennifer Granholm. But when she brought up this idea, well, you know, paid family leave doesn't have to be done this way. And you're just sitting there going, okay, this is the train that's leaving the station.
Right.
All right. The if you thought you could have gotten paid family leave in a bipartisan way, you'd have actually done it earlier and tried it. And then tried and failed, but tried it. Now, I actually think this is the biggest mistake of the Build Back Better plan, is that they should have tried six or seven of these pieces, attempted bipartisanship, then when it failed, gone down this road. I think they made a mistake not showing the public that the Republicans are going to obstruct. They just said, Republicans will obstruct, so we're going this way. They didn't show. I know the left will say, we show it all the time. No, you don't.
Right.
The public needed to see it because Biden promised what, Kristen?
Paid family leave, transformational change.
But he promised he was going to make
reach
Congress
across the
work.
Aisle.
That's
reach
right.
Across the aisle.
Make
yes.
the attempt.
Yes.
Let him
yes.
slap your
That's
hand
right.
back.
That's right. Right?
Let him do it.
You're right. They didn't do that. And so here they are. And so what's being exposed is this intra-party fight that everyone is witnessing. And I also just would add to what you said and your takeaways, Secretary Granholm didn't have an answer for what happened last Thursday when President Biden announced a new framework, went to Capitol Hill to sell it, to try to get the votes. He talked to the Democratic caucus. He never called for a vote on Thursday.
I assume, you know, the way covering a White House is, right? And we've been through this. There's sort of these preordained things.
Right.
Right. This has this whiff. Oh, what, delaying the trip? Oh, they must know. They got it.
They got it.
Right, right. Like, it was
that
just
was
like,
it.
Oh, okay.
That was it.
All
yeah.
right, I see what's happening. He's going to get his bill. He'll
Absolutely.
Sign it overseas before. Oh, this is, all right, they rescued it.
Right. And by the way, there's
and
no way
happen.
That Democrats will let him go overseas and not land without
how
a victory. And yet they did.
Is this a miscalculation?
It was a legislative miscalculation to some extent. I am told that there was pressure from the progressives specifically for the White House not to make the ask, because then what happened? Then
who
you saw
Congress?
Representative Jayapal come out and say, we need more time.
Who runs Congress?
Well, that right now, it's Representative Jayapal.
If I told you a year ago that Nancy Pelosi said we're having a vote,
Right.
And the vote doesn't happen. We never would have seen
stunning,
that before.
Stunning.
She does not run this caucus the way she used to.
That's right. And she knows it, or she's starting to accept it, I think is maybe a better way to say it.
Accept is a better way to say it, yeah.
And, but I can tell you that, and I made this point on the show, but there is a lot of frustration, I think, among the moderates about what happened on Thursday, because they really feel as though they had the votes. They feel about 200 votes before the president walked into the room. They think if he'd gone into the room and said, vote today, that they would have gotten it over the finish line.
Yeah, I have a feeling if Democrats come up short in Virginia, it's going to be the Virginia Democrats are going to point the finger at the progressives.
Absolutely.
Oh, and I've already heard whispers from the White House that say, hey, don't blame us, blame them.
That's right.
So and, this is, could get ugly.
Well, and the whispering has already begun, and the finger pointing and calling the progressives the crazy part of the caucus. So I think that's what you're going.
That won't go over well.
That won't go over well. Well, that's what's happening behind the scenes, and in Virginia, and in people who are supporting Terry McAuliffe. And by the way, that was one of my other big takeaways. You asked Terry McAuliffe about his gaffe that he made during your debate when he said that, you know, parents shouldn't have a say in their kids' education.
And it clearly was talking about parents shouldn't be able to decide what books are banned. I understand that he's frustrated by the context, but he didn't seem to land that answer.
Well, and what's striking is he's had a number of opportunities, and here he had yet another opportunity to clarify today, which he did, but the clarification was sort of buried 30 seconds into his answer to you, which is just that. I'm not saying parents shouldn't have a say. Of course parents should have a say, he said. What I'm saying is we don't want to get into the territory of banning books, which is something that's very understandable. I think the question is a lot of his supporters are wondering if he mishandled the cleanup in response to that, if he shouldn't just come out in a full-throated way day after.
Yeah, that is not what I meant.
And deprived Youngkin of the chance to run that ad over and over and over again, which just clips that very controversial part of his statement.
At the end of the day, though, it's hard to sit there and say, if Terry McAuliffe loses, that he lost because of that. This political environment that he's running in is worse than the one he ran in 2013.
That's right. It's worse. And again, what you're seeing, and this goes back to the poll. Right. And this goes back to the poll and the optics that people voted because they wanted a functional government.
Yeah.
And they feel like this infighting, they feel like what they saw over the summer, the fact that COVID rates went up, the fact that prices are going up, the Afghanistan withdrawal, all of that creates this climate of feeling like there isn't the stability that people voted for.
Tell me about COP, because on one hand, there's a huge opportunity here for the president. No Xi, no Putin. This is America's could run the show here, but he doesn't have anything to say, hey, we put money where our mouth is.
Right.
Right. That was the whole point. Money where your mouth is.
Exactly.
And we don't quite have it yet, but can he salvage some positive victory out of this?
I think he can. The White House would argue, look, these world leaders are sophisticated. They understand that the sausage making takes time. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's going to argue. He doesn't have a deal in hand. But and by the way, if and when he does have that deal finalized, it's not going to be as big and sweeping as it initially promised. But the president's going to lean into the fact that it's $500 billion in fighting climate, larger than any other piece of legislation that has gone toward funding these types of changes in climate. And that could be enough, potentially. We'll have to see. But I also think he's going to lean into the fact that, look, I'm a very different leader than the past leader of this country who was a climate denier. I'm coming to you as someone who has made this a key campaign promise, but he doesn't have a signed piece of legislation in hand.
What do you make of President Obama being brought over as almost like a closer? What is that about?
Well, this was a big issue. As you know, you covered former President Obama. This was a big issue for former President Obama. I asked the White House directly if it looks like he is bigfooting the president. And of course, they say that's absurd. He's the president.
Is this like Obama leaning on Bill Clinton back in the day?
And sometimes it feels a little bit.
Well, Bill Clinton,
the explainer in chief.
Yeah. And in this case, the world does have a fondness for Obama that they don't quite have a bite, right?
That's right. Yeah. And I think particularly on this issue, and former President Obama was known as an explainer to some extent. And so he is stepping into this
Biden
role,
isn't but bothered by this the way maybe other presidents could have been,
I don't think
he
is, Chuck, because of their relationship. Yeah. I mean, they do have a very close personal relationship. That's staff, not to say there's not some push and pull.
It's always
the staff
been,
is different.
Oh, I was just going to say, Obama staff has never been as friendly to Biden as Obama
personally was. That's right.
There's always been a little bit of that.
That's right. And you felt that certainly during the campaign.
Oh, yes, you did.
When there was a lot of sort of bickering about how the campaign should be run and the Obama people, you know, wagging their finger in various moments.
Do you expect a lot of backseat driving on Wednesday if Glenn Youngkin's the governor-elect?
Boy, it's hard to see how they're if
when I say backseat driving about the White House political operation, how they're looking at
all of it. Yeah. And I think that this will be a massive alarm bell that goes off for Democrats all over the country if Glenn Youngkin wins. Biden won this state by 10 points. So if Glenn Youngkin wins, and right now Democrats have huge majorities, large majorities, in particularly in some of these critical swing areas in Virginia. So if Glenn Youngkin is the governor-elect, that's a massive wake-up call to this White House. And I would just go back to one thing that I said at the top, which is that a lot of moderates are concerned that there isn't a clear enough legislative strategy coming from this White House, and that the trickle down effect is just massive.
All right, what's your Halloween plan? First of all, what's your lovely daughter going as?
Well, good question, Chuck. So we were
I always love the baggy costume. Right? Yeah. Is it the pumpkin? Is it the thing?
So we have, of course, we have the pumpkin.
Awesome.
Of course, we have the pumpkin. But we also have Princess Leia. So we're doing a little bit of a rollout.
By the way,
costumes.
Just wear the headphones. People don't realize we're wearing headphones now. Both Kristen and I look like Princess Leia.
That's right.
Now.
We both look like Princess Leia. We're right here.
Help us, Obi-Wan. You're our only hope.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm so excited to have this first Halloween with her. I can't even tell
you. This is your first
you.
Halloween in the suburbs. I don't want to say where you live.
Yes,
but you're in the suburbs now.
Yes, exactly. I'm in the suburbs.
This is so much fun.
Okay, so it's so much fun, but also our neighbors are saying, you got to get a lot more candy.
Oh.
You have to expect hundreds of trick-or-treaters.
The most important thing, though, and then this is it, buy the candy that you like to eat.
Okay. Is that the most important thing,
yes,
or should I not do that?
No,
I don't know, Chuck.
Don't be, first of all, be the house that gives cool candy.
Yeah, you're
don't
right.
Don't be
you're
the
right.
house
you're
that
right.
doesn't give chocolate.
Yes,
you're don't
right.
be the house that gives, like, Jelly Bellies.
Oh, we're giving chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh,
give
we're giving
me a
chocolate.
Break. I can't stand those
what
houses.
What are you guys giving? And
I'm
are your
Reese's
kids dressing
peanut butter
up?
Cup, a Snickers. All I will tell you is my kids are 14 and 17.
Yeah.
My daughter's my oldest. Mom approved her outfit, and that's all I'm going to say.
Dad didn't approve. Dad didn't approve.
There was nothing I could say. I thought it was too tight and too short. Mom said it was okay.
Mom has the final say.
This was an argument I was not going to wade into because I would not have won.
No, you're not going to win. You're not going to win. That's for sure.
Well, I'm going to wear my mask for Halloween.
Good. Yes.
Hey,
good.
Thank you very much.
We'll all wear our masks.
Thank you, Kristen.
Thanks, Chuck. This was great.